And I'll ask you now, if you will, turn with me in your Bible to a couple of passages. First of all, in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 20, verse 7. We are working our way together through the Ten Commandments. We come this morning to the third commandment. As this morning, I want to encourage you to call upon the name of the Lord. Again, our text this morning, our primary text this morning is from the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verse 7. Let's hear God's word. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Now, if you'll keep that place marked and turn with me also in your Bible to the New Testament, to the book of Romans, Paul's letter to the church in Rome, chapter 10, verses 9 to 13. Okay, we've seen so far that the Lord doesn't simply give us the Ten Commandments and leave it up to us to figure out what they mean or what to do with them, but instead, the Lord gives us the entire Bible to explain and apply the Ten Commandments for us. And so, as we're working our way through the Ten Commandments, not only are we looking at the passage in Exodus chapter 20, but we're also looking at other passages in Scripture, especially in the New Testament, to help explain and apply the Ten Commandments to our lives today. So our supplemental text this morning is from the book of Romans, Paul's letter to the church in Rome, chapter 10. Paul is actually in the midst of a rather lengthy argument or discussion with the church in Rome. We're not going to read all that. For the sake of time, we're actually going to begin in the middle of the paragraph, even really in the middle of a sentence. We're going to begin Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Again, this is God's word. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart, one believes and is justified. And with the mouth, one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls in the name of the Lord will be saved. The reading of God's word. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, as we have just sung, the reading of your word gives light. It gives understanding. It teaches us. It instructs us. It brings us out of the darkness of sin and into the light of your wonderful presence. And so we pray, O Lord, that you would use your word in this way in our lives this morning, that you would shine the light of your word into our lives, that you would shine on us through your word, that you'd bring light and clarity and truth and hope and promise and joy and blessing. Shine on us, Lord. Shine your light of truth into our lives this morning through the hearing of your word. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Are you upset? Are you frustrated? Angry? Irritated? Maybe you're bored. Maybe your life's kind of plateaued. You're not angry, you're just bored. Or maybe you're excited. Maybe you're jubilant. Maybe you're upbeat. Maybe you're thankful. Maybe you're grateful. Maybe you're joyful. Okay. Regardless of what emotion you're experiencing this morning, maybe you are in the deepest, darkest valley. You feel like you're down in the pit. You can't see your way out. You feel like you're just down in the dumps. Or maybe you are on top of the world. Maybe you're on cloud nine. This has been a great week. You've had answers to prayers. You've just been so happy. Whether you're down in the depths of the pit or up on the mountaintop or somewhere in between, regardless of the way you feel this morning or your circumstances or whatever situation you're in, whatever you're going through, I want to encourage you this morning to call upon the name of the Lord. Look with me at our text this morning. That is our primary text, our main passage this morning. It's in the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 20, verse 7. We've been working our way together through the book of Exodus, and we've come to chapter 20, which of course is where the one place where the Ten Commandments are found. So now we've been working our way through the Ten Commandments, and we come this morning to the third commandment, which is found here, Exodus chapter 20, verse 7. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Now, you know what it means by the name of the Lord your God. The book of Exodus is all about the name of God. When you see the name of the Lord in all capital letters, whenever you see Lord in all capital letters, you know that's what we call the covenant name of God. That's, well, in the Hebrew, it's Yahweh or Yahweh, and it means literally, I am, or I am who I am. We call that the covenant name of God. It's the way the Lord revealed himself to Moses through the burning bush. I mean, Moses has had his life turned upside down multiple times. From a happy childhood and loving home to you know, his life is in danger as Pharaoh wants the Hebrew baby boys put to death. And then he's rescued, he's delivered, and taken by the Pharaoh's daughter, the princess, into the royal household. And then later he becomes a fugitive and has to flee for his life. And Moses' life was one of just turmoil. His life was turned upside down, not just once, but several times. And then the Lord speaks to Moses and says, I am. I am who I am. In this world, this crazy world that's constantly changing, God says, I just am. God reveals himself as the covenant-keeping God, the faithful God, the God who keeps covenant with his people. And it's why we've been calling this series, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Because God's faithfulness to his people is from everlasting to everlasting. And all of that is summarized, all that is expressed in the name the Lord. All that is summarized or expressed in the name of God. And so you can understand, as we come to the third commandment, we're told not to take the name of the Lord your God in vain. In other words, we should not use God's name carelessly. Some people use God's name like a curse, like a cuss word. You've heard that. You hear it at school or after school or at work. You certainly hear it on television. You hear it in movies. Maybe you even hear it in your own household, that sometimes God's name gets thrown around like it's a curse, like it's a cuss word. Other people sometimes use God's name almost like an exclamation point, a way of giving some punch to whatever you say. Are you angry? Throw out God's name. Are you startled? Throw out God's name. Nervous? Throw out. Some people use God's name almost like an exclamation point, just to kind of give a little extra punch to whatever they're feeling or whatever they're expressing. But here, we're being told we shouldn't use God's name carelessly. God's name is not something that should just be thrown around or thrown about. Okay. This is a very serious sin. Now, I know some people say, well, it's just words. Everybody does it. You know what I mean. We're just joking. But actually, this is a very serious sin. It says, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. It says, God won't hold you guiltless. That means the Lord will hold you guilty. If you use his name carelessly, God won't hold you guiltless. He will hold you guilty. He will hold you responsible. This is a very serious sin. It may be common. Maybe everybody's doing it. But it's still very serious. This is a very serious sin. And I'll tell you why. Because the name of the Lord represents who God is. And that is a weighty matter. Okay? It's heavy. It's weighty with significance. You wouldn't want people making fun of your name, right? And as a parent, when you have children, aren't you so careful to come up with a name for your child? moms and dads think and pray and talk, and you read baby books, and you put a lot of thought into it because someone's name is important. It's significant. It's going to represent that person. And you don't want someone making fun of your name when you're in school because your name represents you. If someone makes fun of your name, they're making fun of you. The name of the Lord represents God. It's a heavy matter. It's a weighty matter. In fact, in Hebrew, the word for heavy or weighty is the same word for glory. So that when we say the Lord is glorious, we're saying he's weighty. His name is weighty or heavy. Now, this word vain is the opposite. The word vanity in the Hebrew, it means like vapor, like nothingness, like smoke. What he's saying is God's name is weighty, it's heavy, it's significant. Don't throw it around lightly like it's nothing. This is a very serious sin. But we've already seen that the first four commandments are specifically addressing worship. Right? Remember that? First commandment tells us who to worship. I'm the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. So the first commandment tells us who to worship. And the second commandment tells us how to worship. Right? You're not to make an image, but instead you're to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as the very image of God. You're to worship the Father through Jesus the Son. So the first commandment tells us who to worship. The second commandment tells us how to worship. That is through Jesus. And now our passage this morning, the third commandment, addresses the attitude or the heart of worship. Because this word take, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God, is actually the word Hebrew for bear or carry or in particular lift up. And it's the word that is used for the act of worship. When you lift up a sacrifice or you lift up praise. And so the picture here is that God is specifically and primarily addressing the act of worship. When you worship the Lord, you're not to lift up God's name like it's nothing. Remember early on in the very beginning of the book of Genesis, we're told, and then men began to call upon the name of the Lord. Okay, or Abraham. Remember how God called Abraham to leave the city of Ur and come to the promised land? And when Abraham came to the promised land, the first thing he did, Abraham built an altar. And he called upon the name of the Lord. And then Abraham's son Isaac, when Isaac returned to the promised land, Isaac did the same thing. He rebuilt his father's altar and he called upon the name of the Lord. Or David in Psalm 18 says, in my distress, I called upon the name of the Lord. Okay. Or Elijah at Mount Carmel. When Elijah challenged the prophets of Baal, okay, we looked at this just a few weeks ago in the evening service. Elijah challenged the false prophets, and he says, you call on the name of your God, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. So to call upon the name of the Lord is to lift up God's name in worship. And that's primarily what the third commandment is about. It's about lifting up God's name in worship. Okay, he's saying we don't want to be irreverent. We don't want to just go through the motions of worship. Okay, let me put it this way. The first commandment tells us who we should worship. Okay? So we're not going to be Muslim. We're not going to worship Allah. Okay. The second commandment tells us how to worship. We're not going to try to use a statue and make an image. Jesus is the image. So we're going to worship through Jesus. Okay. But that alone isn't enough. Okay. There are some college courses where your grade is based entirely on attendance. So I've been told. I never had a class like that. But supposedly, there are some classes that are pass-fail, no tests, no quizzes. Okay, you just have to show up. Okay? Worship isn't like that. It's not enough to simply show up. If the first commandment says you should worship the Lord, tells us who to worship, and the second commandment tells us how to worship, we need to worship through Jesus. The third commandment addresses our attitude or our heart of worship. It's not enough just to show up. Okay? We don't want to be irreverent. We don't want to just go through the motions. When you call upon the name of the Lord, you want to call upon the name of the Lord in faith. Okay? What we see this morning is that the Ten Commandments are not just concerned with outward behavior. You know, some people say, I keep the Ten Commandments. I've never robbed anybody. I've never killed anybody. And some people just seem to think the Ten Commandments are only about sort of outward sins. Well, the third commandment proves that's not correct. God is concerned about outward behavior, but he's also concerned about your attitude, your heart. When you're worshiping, when you lift up God's name, don't do it lightly. Don't do it carelessly. Don't just let your mind wander. You ever been driving somewhere and you felt like your car is almost on autopilot? I used to take our daughter to school. I drove to Vineland and back so many times. I'd take her to school in the morning, come home, go back in the afternoon, pick her up. I felt like my car was on autopilot. You know, turn left here, turn right there. My mind would be somewhere else, and I'm just driving. And it became so common, I got to where I would drive there even when I didn't want to. You know what I mean? Tracy would send me out at night to get milk, and before you know it, I'm halfway to Vineland, because it's just where I always go. It's easy to do that in worship, too, right? Oh, I know this hymn. We're singing away, and you don't even think about it, right? We're reciting the Lord's Prayer. It's easy to just go through the motions like you're on autopilot. The Lord doesn't want us to lift up his name as if it's nothing. He wants you to lift up his name in faith. In confidence. The name of God is powerful. It's weighty. We're talking about the Lord here. So God wants us to call upon his name in faith. Okay. Turn with me to our passage in the book of Romans. Okay. Romans chapter 10. And Paul will flesh this out for us a little bit. Okay. Romans chapter 10. Beginning with verse 9, Paul says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, isn't that an interesting thing for Paul to say? You would think he would say, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you'll be saved. Right? The Lord... You just say it. Isn't that enough? Paul says, well, no, not really. He says, you need to confess it with your mouth and believe it in your heart. Okay? God wants you to believe in him with your heart and confess him with your mouth. And it's not one or the other. There are some people, I suppose, who grow up in a Christian family or a Christian church, and they just consider themselves Christian because they say so. And they don't necessarily believe in the Lord in their heart, but they think they're Christian just because they say so. And there are others who say that they believe in the Lord in their heart, but they never actually come out and say it. But what we see here this morning is not one or the other, but it's both. God wants you to believe in him with your heart and confess him with your mouth. Verse 10, Paul says, for with the heart one believes and is justified. Now, let's suppose someone breaks into your home, okay, and you kill the person in self-defense. Okay? Theoretically, you could be charged with murder, okay, and they could decide you're guilty. Or they could decide you're innocent. All right, they say you're innocent. In the ancient world, they didn't say guilty or innocent. They said guilty or righteous. Innocent could just mean, well, you didn't do anything wrong, or we can't prove you did anything wrong. But in the ancient world, they would say you're either guilty or you're righteous. And in other words, you did the right thing. You did the right thing. You protected yourself. You protected your family. You did the right thing. And the word for that was justified. You were either found guilty or you were justified. Paul says, with your heart, that is, from the inside, with your heart, one believes and is justified. What he's saying is that if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, it's as if there's a transfer. It's as if your sin is taken away, your guilt is put on Jesus. And then it's as if his righteous life is transferred to you. So that Jesus takes the blame and the punishment and suffers for your sin, your guilt. And God looks on you and he sees the righteousness of Jesus and he declares you righteous. That's what Paul says, just by believing. With the heart, one believes and is justified. That means you're not just forgiven. You're not just off the hook. You're declared righteous. You're pleasing in God's sight. You trust in Jesus. His righteousness is given to you. And you're pleasing. You're declared righteous. With the heart, one believes and is justified. And with the mouth, one confesses and is saved. There are some people who think that the Christian life is just external, just showing up for worship, don't commit murder. But there are others who make the opposite mistake, who think it's all about my heart. It's just my heart. Sometimes people get involved in unhealthy behavior, behavior that's not pleasing to the Lord, behavior that's not biblical. And if you try to encourage that person or correct or help that person, the person says, you don't know my heart. God knows my heart. Well, that's true. I mean, we have to be careful trying to judge somebody's heart. But the Christian life is not just outward behavior, but it's also not just your heart. You should believe with your heart and confess with your mouth. It's both. And this is one of the reasons we're offering the Confessing Christ class. You know, some people perhaps want to join the church. Well, we don't want them to just say they believe in Jesus. We want to make sure they really do. And so we offer the class as a way to provide some information, some teaching, to ask them questions, let them ask questions, so that when they say they believe in Jesus, they really believe in their heart. But another reason we offer the class is because sometimes people already believe in Jesus, but they never say so. And we believe it's important. God wants you to believe in him with your heart and confess him with your mouth. Because, verse 11, for the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. Now, Paul is writing, remember, he's writing to the Christian church in Rome. There were lots of different kinds of Christians in this church. Some of them were Jewish Christians. Some of them were not Jewish, but they were Christian. Paul is going to address all kinds of different challenges in this church, but one of the challenges is that the Jewish Christians have grown up being taught that they're better than people who aren't Jewish. That if you keep the Ten Commandments and if you follow the Jewish traditions, that's what makes you God's people. That's what makes you better than people who aren't Jewish. And so they're having a hard time with the idea that other people can be Christians without becoming Jewish. Those people grew up willy-nilly. They weren't raised right, they would say. Shouldn't they at least have to become Jewish? Should they at least be circumcised? And they're having a hard time with the idea that people who aren't even Jewish could be allowed into the church or could be allowed into heaven. And so Paul is going to deliberately quote from the Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures. Jewish people, Jewish Christians, knew the Old Testament. So Paul is going to deliberately quote from their own scriptures to help them understand that the salvation's a gift, that it's free, that it's of great, that it's for everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord. And so Paul quotes scripture. He says, the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. Whether Jewish or not, anyone who calls upon the Lord. He says, for there's no distinction between Jew and Greek. Well, actually, there's lots of distinctions between Jew and Greek. I mean, Jewish people, they looked different. They spoke a different language. They had different heritage, different traditions, different family. There were lots of distinctions between Jew and Greek. But when it comes to salvation, well, then there's no difference at all. There's no distinction. He says, for there's no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all. The same Lord is Lord over all nations and all races and all cultures and all people, whether you're Jewish or not, bestowing his riches. What does Paul mean by riches? Well, elsewhere, Paul uses the same expression, but in other places, Paul says, God's riches of grace. That's what he means, the riches of grace. Grace means God blesses you even when you don't deserve it. That's grace. Okay. So forgiveness and pardon and love and acceptance. Paul says, the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. He's saying it doesn't matter if you're Jewish or not. Maybe you had a great upbringing and you were taught to say yes, sir, and yes, ma'am, and no, sir, and no. Maybe you had to raise yourself. Maybe you were a wild child. Paul says when it comes to salvation, it doesn't matter. God will pour out the riches of his grace on anyone who calls on him. In other words, he says, just ask. And God will pardon you. He will forgive you. He'll pour out his love on you. He'll give you his spirit. He'll embrace you as his child. God will bestow the riches of his grace on all who call on him. God does not divide and pick and choose, but he will pour out his grace on any and all who will call on him in faith. And so I want to encourage you this morning to call upon the name of the Lord in whatever situation you're in. You see, the Pharisees didn't understand this. They were so afraid of violating the third commandment, they would not use the Lord's name at all. They were so concerned of violating the third commandment that only one person was allowed to use the Lord's name, and that was only once a year, okay, under the Pharisees. Once a year, at the Day of Atonement, the high priest was allowed to use the name of the Lord when he blessed the people. He would say, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And that was the only time, the only person, and the only time someone was allowed to use the name of the Lord. Because the Pharisees were so afraid, what if we use it wrong? But that's not what the third commandment intended. When he says, you shall not lift up the name of the Lord lightly, he's saying you should use it with faith, with boldness, with confidence. You should use it freely, and you should use God's name often. Do you know the name of the Lord appears more than 7,000 times in the Bible? More than 7,000 times. God does not want you to be afraid of using the Lord's name. He doesn't want you to hide it away somewhere so that nobody messes it up. He wants you to use his name. He wants you to believe on his name, and he wants you to call upon his name. He wants you to lift up his name in faith and joy and confidence. So call upon the name of the Lord, for example, in times of trouble. You're going through a hard time. You're stressed. You don't know how to make ends meet. You're worried about your medical results, or you don't know what to do about your kids. In Psalm 50, God says, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will rescue you. Or in 2 Samuel, David says, I call upon the Lord, and I'm saved from my enemies. Or in Lamentations, Jeremiah says, I called on your name, O Lord. I called on your name, O Lord, from the depths of the pit. Jeremiah is saying, I was down in the dumps. I was way down there in the hole, and I called on the name of the Lord. And Jeremiah says, and Lord, you came near when I called on you, and you said, do not fear. When you are frightened, when you're scared, when you're in trouble, call on the name of the Lord, and the Lord will come to you, and the Lord will comfort you. Call on the name of the Lord in every situation. Call on the name of the Lord in times of guilt. Psalm 86 says, you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive, and abundant in loving kindness to all who call upon you. So if you're feeling convicted, if it's weighing on you, your guilt or your sin is weighing you, call upon the name of the Lord, because the Lord is abounding in loving kindness. He's quick and ready to forgive all who call upon the name of the Lord. So call upon the Lord in times of trouble. Call upon the Lord in times of guilt. Call upon the Lord in times of thanksgiving. Maybe you've had a great week. Maybe you're realizing how blessed you are. Maybe you're happy and thankful and you want to praise the Lord. Then call upon the name of the Lord and praise him and thank him. First Chronicles, David says, oh, give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord and call upon his name. Give thanks to the Lord. Thank him for his goodness and call upon his name and make known his deeds among the people. Call upon the name of the Lord and thank him and tell everybody all the great things God has done for you. In other words, in whatever situation you're in, maybe you are down in the dumps. Maybe you're on the mountaintops. Maybe you're somewhere in between. Whatever situation you're in, don't forget the name of the Lord. Don't leave the name of the Lord sitting over there on the bookshelf like a book you've never read. But make use of this great gift. Call upon the name of the Lord in faith, and he will answer you. Psalm 91, God says, call upon me and I'll answer him. I'll be with him in trouble and I'll rescue him and honor him. Or in Jeremiah, God says, call to me and I'll answer you and I'll tell you great and mighty things which you do not know. Maybe you're just perplexed. You don't know how to begin. You don't know what to do. God says, call to him and he'll show you. He'll open up your eyes. He'll help you see and understand things from God's word. Isn't that what James says? If a person lacks wisdom, just ask of God, but ask believing, and he'll give you that wisdom. God says, call to me, and I'll teach you, and I'll show you. In fact, in Isaiah, God says, it'll come to pass that even before they call, I'll answer. That's how good God is. That before you've even finished your prayer, God's already begun sending answers. Before you've gotten the words out of your mouth, he's already sending his blessing. He's already answering. He's already sending his grace your way. Psalm 17, the psalmist says, I have called upon you, for you, O Lord, answer me, O my God. Call upon the name of the Lord in every situation, and he will answer you. That's what we see in our text this morning. Paul ends this section by saying, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. If you have your bulletin open in front of you, we've already seen this morning, the name of the Lord is heavy. It's weighty. It's significant. It's not something to be tossed around. And yet, as we come to the New Testament, we see that the name of the Lord, the name of God, the great I am, that name is given to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Philippians tells us that God has given Jesus the name which is above all name, so that the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. In the book of Acts, Peter says, there is no other name by which you may be saved. That the name of the Lord has been given to Jesus Christ, that name above all names, because he is the Lord. He is God. Jesus is the great I am. Remember, we saw last week, he is the very image of who God is. He is God in the flesh. In fact, again, this is in our call to worship this morning. From 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul says, you were washed. That means you're cleansed, you're forgiven. You're washed, you were sanctified. Sanctified means dedicated to God. Okay, you've been forgiven and you've been set apart and your life's been changed. You've been set apart and been dedicated or consecrated to God. You were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified. We've already said that to be justified is more than just being forgiven. It means being declared righteous. Paul is writing to the church, New Testament Christians, and he says, you were washed, you were sanctified, and you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to his name. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. In whatever situation you find yourself, call upon the name of the Lord. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, sometimes we're tempted to try to call upon our own resources. We try to call upon our own efforts. We struggle. But we call upon your strong name. We call upon your great name, and things happen. You are great beyond our imagination. You're majestic and glorious. Your name is powerful. Proverbs says your name is a strong tower where we run and hide. Father, we appeal to the strong name of Jesus Christ, the great name of Jesus Christ. And we come to you this morning and we're praying in the name of Jesus. And we pray for ourselves. We pray for the church family here. We pray for our children. We pray for our marriages. We pray for our relationships. We pray for all those areas where we are weak. We pray for those situations that are fragile and frail. We pray for those situations that need help, that need change. We pray for situations that we can't seem to fix. And we pray in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray for forgiveness and pardon. We pray for more of your love and grace in our lives. We pray for our community. We pray that you build up this congregation. We pray for our co-workers. We pray for those who are struggling and those who need to be comforted. We pray for those who are cast down and those who are lost and confused. And we pray, Lord, in the powerful name of Jesus, we pray for our country. We pray for the deep, deep divide that seems to exist in our country. We pray for the foolishness that we see in our country and the bitterness and the anger and the hurt. And we pray for healing. We pray for the good news of the gospel to change, to teach, to instruct, to bring life. Lord, we pray. This is a big prayer, but we pray for our country. We pray for the kingdom of God in this country, and we pray in the great name of Jesus. We pray, Lord, we pray for all the countries of this world, and we pray that Jesus would be loved, that God would be honored and respected and obeyed. We pray that your people would be kept safe from persecution, that your people would prosper and flourish and grow, that we would be a delight and a blessing to our communities and the people around us. We pray all these things. We pray it all, Lord, in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.